like, not fully Quebec.
But you were just arguing that you were technically not Irish. So if you're technically not Irish and not really English, what the fuck are you?
I don't
then?
Need to get into the schematics of what I am.
You're nobody.
Do you mean semantics?
Like, nobody is the answer. And you did mean semantics as well, by the way.
You don't know that. Can you say that?
I love when it's Lizzie and not me. This is always, I'm always the Lizzie in this situation.
I'm in a
picked on.
I'm shocking news. Look at the bottom of your screen.
No, you did me wrong. You absolutely bitch.
I thought that this would be a great way to start episode 2.
So. Oh my God. Love this.
Sorry.
Could be wrong. Could be right, but I'm not sorry. I'm very proud of myself.
I'm weak.
Okay. So after last week's episode, hearing it now, how do we all feel on episode 2?
I learned I can't count.
Why?
Because she said eight.
I said she had 8 children and she very clearly has 7. I listed them name by name and then said her
but,
8 kids.
But you forget, you mentioned she had a miscarriage, so technically she did have 8 children.
See,
you can't count.
God, I'm always right.
But yeah, anyway, I wouldn't have noticed. I'm like, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I corrected myself like 3 seconds later, but I was like,
yeah, it's fine.
Oh, well, then
we forgive you, Quiva. It's all fine.
I'll bring my calculator now.
Just in case you need to add up.
Like, 1 + 1 + 1.
Okay, so welcome everyone to episode 2. This time we are finally talking about something a little bit more lighthearted. We're going to talk about our favourite folklore from all across the world, really. I think we've all got different nationalities of creature today. So yeah, as usual, we have to beat the indecisiveness, so I'm gonna have to do the roll to see who goes first.
What way are we doing it? I can't remember what the
format
was.
Do the same every time.
I'm over 10.
It was below 10 with me.
Yeah. And you're above 10. So today we have Noice, a 16. So it's Lizzie. Lizzie, you get to go first today. So let's dive in.
So I decided that I was going to do an Irish one because why fucking not? Being a bit of a plain Jane.
Though technically not Irish, but whatever.
I was just about to say, thanks, Savannah. You beat me.
Like, do you want to mind your own? Trying to tell a story, guys.
We're doing a podcast together. You are my business.
To be debated. Anyway, and I will just clarify, even though I've learned Irish from the age of 4 to probably 16, none of these words are going to be pronounced correctly. And I don't care. I'm going to roll with
English. Be right in somebody's dialect. I mean, not all Irish people speak the same.
That's
so
true.
It's fine.
That's true.
We'll allow it.
Okay, so I'm going to do the Merrill, which are Irish mermaids. And I just do want to say, like, obviously I'm not saying that mermaids are solely, like, from Irish origin. It's just our version of according to our legend and folklore. So the Merrill are Marook. Haven't a clue. That's what we're going for today. So it's a mermaid or merman in Irish folklore, and they dwell in Tirfui Haun, the land beneath the waves. Okay, so just like a little bit about them, as if what they look like, the land and stuff. So in order to be able to travel between land and sea, they must be in possession of a magical cap called a Cúilín Drúe.
Okay.
There's different descriptions of it. So the likes of W.B. Yeats, he has his own version of it where he says they turn into tiny cows without horns. I don't know where he got it from, because
how small, like goat small, or like just like a miniature?
No, like
cow small.
I don't know if it's like for father cow, you know, like small cow far away, like how small, okay, he thinks they are. But it just says tiny cow without horns is basically what his version of it is. But another one of it, it's just like, looks like a swimming cap, but full of scales and some have feathers. And then you've some versions where it's not a hat, it's like a full body suit.
Right.
So it's not really clear which one, like I'm talking like if they're fucking real, which one's real. Fuck's sake. So like that, in order to be able to go to the land, they have to be able to have this. But if it's lost, okay, they lose their ability to return back. So kind of like, okay, when Ariel got her legs, like she couldn't really tuck on back until she had her tail.
Do you know, like either or type thing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Right. So first, we're going to get on to the Merrill Maiden. Now, stereotypically, they're half human from like the waist up, and then like tail and scaly and fishy from the bottom. But they're covered in kind of greenish tinted scales. They have long, luscious green curly hair. They've light web between their fingers. Yeah, they're green.
Cool.
And then they've kind of like a white delicate film around their skin that's kind of opaque. So kind of like eggshell opaque.
You can like see through them.
They're like kind of half translucent.
Yeah.
Ew. Weird.
Like shrimps,
okay,
kind of.
I don't know any about like floating organs. Like I don't see, like,
yeah,
see any of that kind of shit.
I like this.
Mm-hmm. And the way I'm thinking of it is, because if you picture it, do you know if they were like to sit on a rock and all majestic and they're like glowing by the moonlight,
yes,
they're just going to look so fascinating and like.
Yeah, and they'd be harder to spot as well when they're in the water.
Exactly,
as well.
My thought. Okay, so.
You need to calm down with that book. What did the book do to you? You're just like,
is it really there? it was loud. I can't hear it. If you get a headphone on, like, I can hear it anyway. So they're believed to be capable of loving and forming attachments with humans, but that's mainly due to the fact that the mermen were gank looking. Like, not one of them were, God bless them, like, they weren't stunners at all. Like,
are you going to tell us the description of why they were ugly?
Not yet. You're going to be alluded to the fact.
Okay.
And I'm going to get on.
So are the female ones meant to be good looking and the male ones are
pure rotten? Stunning, pure gorgeous. Like, no wonder none of them wanted to touch them.
It's like the opposite of bird logic. I'll agree to it. Let's go.
Well, exactly.
Give me this info.
Okay, so here we go. So the mermaidens, they were known to lure young men beneath the deep, where they would live in an enchanted state. But they were able to do this because, you know, like I said, pure stunts. They were definitely superficial, because like that, they weren't touching the mermen because they were massive, as in fat, green, had pig snouts, red hair. The pig snout was like roaring red, but that's because apparently they're real fond of the drink and loved a bit of brandy, so they like a brandy nose.
Why would you make up a mythical creature and make it look like that?
This is the most Irish
story. Why would you want to touch off anybody that looks like that? So it kind of like,
that's ugly.
That looks like that. Exactly. Yeah. And it kind of reminded me of the redheaded one from Aquaman and Shrek, if they had like a malformed kid.
I sadly never watched Aquaman because I find him extremely useless as a superhero.
Oh, completely. But just Jason Momoa, like, you just watch it for him. We won't lie to ourselves.
That's partly not what the Irish mermen look like, so.
Oh, they're actually terrible.
So sad.
Like, because of, as well now, the Merrow men, they were so bitter about their appearances that they trap the souls of drowned sailors and keep them imprisoned. They're just
just petty.
They're so spiteful.
Just because they're ugly, like, they're like, fuck everyone
incredibly
else.
Incredibly spiteful. So they're alcoholics, they're no prize tam, and they're arseholes.
Kidnapping isn't going to fucking fix your whiskey nose, Derek. Like, just get on with it.
Like, calm your tits. But also saying that,
these are awful.
Oh, they're dreadful. But where they are terrible, some of the Merrow women are a bit wicked. Right. So some ones are like nice and calm and they're gentle and they like mate with like males and then go have like lovely little families, live out their lives, have a great time. Then you have ones that, because they can't get their bit, will try drown a hooer for no reason.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, that's so excessive.
So they have obviously like sirens, like the Greek sirens, they have a beautiful singing voice. So they'd bewitch lads and lure them into the sea. But if anybody broke from the trance and tried to escape, they would incur the wrath of a scorned Merrow maid and be hunted down, ripped limb from limb, and have their bones devoured and never seen again.
Just because they're a bit sexually frustrated. Like, do
they
not have...
They couldn't take
something
like,
slightly phallic shaped or fish dick shaped, I don't really know, in the ocean.
Yeah, imagine how people would be killed after a night out if that was the way people were acting.
Could you imagine? Could you absolutely imagine? So I have a few little tales to tell about little legends from like different parts of the country, and also kind of how Waterford was formed.
Yay.
Weirdly, so apologies,
Savannah.
No.
PTSD.
Right, so there was a son of a demigod, and his name was Roth, and he was patrolling the shores of Ireland when he stumbled upon Merrow. And for them to eliminate him as a threat, they seduced him in with their lovely little songs, lured him closer and closer, and tore him limb from limb, joint from joint. He was eaten, bones and all. Ew. Except for his jagged femur that they sent to the surface and is now County Waterford. So apparently the jagged bone of a demigod's son is County Waterford.
Sure.
Irish people are so
it
like,
checks out.
Like, where do they get
Waterford's dramatic. A weird place. It seems like it had to have been cursed to end up the way it is. So, like, yeah, sure. I'll buy it. Let's go.
It's very, very, very fucking dramatic. Now, we've one about another Merrow maiden, and she's a spiteful cunt. So we have Lottie of Kerry.
Lottie.
So he stumbled upon a Merrow maid washed ashore. Now, he was a lovely little lad, like, didn't try to take advantage of her, just like yeeted her up, carried her back to the ocean. She'd never kind of had that treatment from humans before.
Okay. So she just thought we were all dicks up until then.
Pretty much. No, she's probably being like harassed on the dale. But anyway, so she's really surprised by his actions and she decides to grant him three wishes.
You're
so
right.
The three wishes were the ability to break curses using black magic, to be able to command malevolent spirits to carry out charitable deeds, and the power to make good things happen to those in need. This is the best thing she's ever heard. She's like, this man is so charitable, such a nice bloke. You're going to get one more wish. So he asked them
bonus
for...
round.
Oh yeah, it's like extra level. So he asked for the prosperity of his descendants.
Sound.
So she agreed. She was delighted. She was like, more great things for this man. And he held out his hand to shake it, so to say like, thank you. But when she went and grabbed his hand, she could see into his soul and seen how pure it was.
Cute.
No.
Oh, it wasn't pure. Never mind.
No, it was. But then that switched on her like...
Oh no.
Her wicked self. She's like, I want him all to myself.
Oh shit.
So she tried to drown him. He tried to attack her with a knife, and she was somehow offended. like she wasn't trying to drown a man like me or 2 seconds ago.
How after prompting dare you? You come at me with a knife and all I have done is trying to kill you for my own forever.
How dare you defend your
but
life?
He attacked her with an iron knife because the Mers are like Merrill men, whatever. Mm-hmm. They're seen as still fairy folk, and he knew that iron is the only thing that would be able to harm them.
Right,
so
okay.
She told him, I'm going to straight up murder you, and in 9 years I'm going to come back and claim your soul. Mm-hmm. Years passed, kind of went out of his head, like that psycho one from the river, and he married a local girl from the little village he was in, had 2 kids. As Creepy says, it was ideal, had an ideal life. And then one day he bought one of his little kids out fishing, and suddenly the Merrow Maiden from years back burst through the waves, snatching him and dragging him beneath the surface where he was never seen again. Like, they're not all murdering hussies.
Hussies.
But that one in particular, she was.
She's such a dick.
Oh, proper dick. But now I have a nice little one. And she's nice.
Yeah, cute. Yay.
So I'm switching it up. I'm switching it
keep
up.
Keep it fresh.
Okay, exactly. We have to have range. This Merrow Maiden, anyway, she was captured by a sea lighter by the name of Dick Fitzgerald. And that he fucking was. So, do you know that cap that I mentioned earlier?
The ugly scaly skull cap.
Yeah, so she was able to travel to land. He took it off her, so she wouldn't be able to go back, and leaving her in his care.
Oh,
so she didn't know if he was going to eat her, if he was just going to kill her, and if he was going to marry her. But because obviously she was gorgeous, he had to have her. And after being, like, she was with him for years, so it kind of was like a case of Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah.
They got married, she was a loving wife, she was doting on him, she would work away in the house, let him go out in the piss the whole time.
God.
But then one day he had gone down to Tralee on the tear, and she was in the house by herself. So she was just cleaning away, doing her like wifely bits, and she finds her cap.
Yes.
And when she first sees it, she doesn't know what to do because it's been so long since she's been home. So as soon as she touches it, she starts getting like the familiar feelings and the calls to go back home. So she snaps out of it, grabs the cap, leaves him and her like little freak kids, because I guarantee if they have a father like that, they're not turning out well.
Little freak kids.
And he lives out the rest of his days miserable and alone, which is quite frankly deserved, because that was some like Stockholm Syndrome shit. Like,
exactly.
He kept her captive in that house. Like, nobody was really allowed to like come over. He just got to brag that he had her.
Ew.
But no one could like really interact with
her. She was just like a trophy wife and a maid for his house. And
yeah, exactly.
He just went off with device all the time, going on the piss. What?
The fucking,
not even a good trophy wife, because nobody was able to see her.
Exactly. I have a mermaid at home, but you can't look at her.
Just then to go over like where they lived. So basically the way they described it was, you had Ireland, you had the sea, but then under the sea they kind of had their own atmosphere. So you had another layer of sand, but then air also. So they weren't even really technically like
weird.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where they'd mainly live. And if you like went into any of their houses, if you seen a little lobster cage in the corner, they were all the trapped souls of sailors that had drowned.
In a lobster cage?
Yeah.
But could you
it's very rude.
You see the trapped souls, or there's like an empty cage, but you know souls are in it?
You know.
Okay, weird.
It's like there's a really bad, ominous feeling with the cage, but like that there was only, it was very rare for humans apparently to be brought down. Like, you had to be invited down, and it was usually by a Merrow man, because usually like the lads, if they're brought down by a Merrow maid, they were just for shagging. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You were like in a trance state. But if you were brought down by a Merrow man, you were invited down because they thought you were sound, and you could come in and look at their house essentially. But it was very, very, very few and far between. And there was actually a story of a man from Clare, Quiba.
Where's he from?
Just said Clare, didn't give the specifics. But his name was Kumara, and he was a sea hound. That was his like official title. But as there was always, a man out fishing sees this lad sitting on a rock, and he's not like spooked out by him at all. And they kind of form like this like little weird friendship. And it was kind of rare, because like that the Merrow men were always very aggressive towards human men because they were so jealous.
Because they were getting all of their mermaid food and they were getting none.
Yeah, exactly. But there was one fella that apparently managed to go down, seeing all these trapped souls, and decided to free them. But there was never and brought up about, was there any retaliation on the Merrow side, which I'm assuming there would be, because at the end of the day,
yeah,
it would have like seemed like their property.
Yeah, I mean, if nothing else, it was their like decor. So you're just like, it's like breaking into someone's house and stealing their fucking candles.
Like a pet nearly, stealing their pets.
Or a pet, yeah. Exactly. Like releasing all of their fish from a fish tank because they should be free.
Exactly. It's weird. But like, there's not obviously too much about them because there hasn't even been really many sightings. It's just like that the odd story from way back in the day. But there's quite like difference with the surnames of O'Flaherty and O'Sullivan's that come from Kerry, or McNamara's from Clare, are believed to have come from the unions between humans and Merrowmen. And later,
Mm-hmm. I'm
Do you know any McNamara's, Cuiva?
Related to some.
Oh, Cuiva, you're a mermaid. We always knew.
Yeah.
Knew it.
And yeah. And O'Sullivan from Kerry as well.
I feel like this was meant to be. Yeah. Can I just say?
I'm so cultured.
There's a few references from that, like the Merrow, in pop culture. So you have the Fantastic Beasts, and it said they're meant to be one of the species of the Mer people, along with the Scottish Selkie and Greek Sirens. Okay. And then also, weirdly enough, which I, when I first read it, I was like, hardly. But Thomas Grafton Croker's, right? So he wrote the Fairy Legends of 1828. He actually laid the groundwork for the folkloric treatment of the Merrow. And after it was released, it was immediately translated into German by the Brothers Grimm.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I feel like I've read that actually, because that story about the Kelpie living with the man by the sea sounded familiar. And I think it's because it's in the Brothers Grimm book that Savannah gave to me.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Could be wrong now.
I think we have an old-timey German Brothers Grimm here somewhere in the house as well. Like, I doubt I'll be able to actually read it, but I can definitely get someone to translate and then see if I can find the same stories. Because that'd be cool.
It's
really cool that we, like, originated a story for the Brothers Grimm, because usually it's the other way around. Like, all of the fairy tales from them.
Like, exactly. We just have grim stuff that, like, death.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, our folklore is very, very grim.
Oh, trust me. Like, German folklore is not any less grim. It's really not. Everything is just as murdery, except I don't think the fairies try to kill you, I think.
You
not
don't
like Ireland,
think they do?
In Ireland, they do it. Here, I don't think so. I'm not sure.
Oh, my God, I was like, sorry.
Oh, no, I know about our fairies. Trust me. Yeah, they're awful.
I steal them.
Or they'll convince you to steal and then be like, haha, you're a dick of a person now. You're going to hell.
Enjoy the consequences. But yeah, that's all I have for the Merrow. Like, that was very short-winded. There wasn't a whole lot to go on. But I would like to cite my sources. So obviously, the ever-great Wikipedia. That I probably
thank you, Wikipedia.
Most of my information for all of these episodes. And then we have www.irelandseye.com and www.hiddendublinwalks.com.
Sweet.
And that's my story, which was a fucking mess and so unorganized. But you know what? It's that kind of a mess.
We're trying to be more relaxed this time. We had such a terribly stressful time last episode.
Did you just dribble on yourself?
I saturated myself with water, yep, because I tried to lean away from the mic. It's fine. I have so many layers on, so I can't really feel it. The house is freezing.
Oh my God. I forgot what I was saying because you were choking and that was just too entertaining.
It, like, went up my nose. I couldn't breathe for, like, a solid couple of seconds.
Oh, no. I hate when that happens.
It was wild.
That is sick.
That's awesome. Lena, what have you got?
I think something about being more relaxed, but, like, we're choking to death and stuff this week, so I don't think we're more relaxed.
Definitely not.
Yes. Okay. I guess that means it's my turn then.
It is.
So some of mine actually has some similar shit to yours, but in a very different way, I guess. So I am covering the Kappa from Japan, and they have literally, like, because there's so many different, like, regions and provinces in Japan, there's 80 different names for a Kappa.
80,
depending on what region you're in. So I just went with Kappa because Kappa is the one I heard. It's the one I know most, and it's the one that's most used, I think. So Kappa, like, roughly translates to river child. They were water spirits that were seen as demons. They had webbed hands and feet like a turtle, with, like, a turtle shell on their back. But they, like, stood and walked like people. They would have been about the size of a small child. They had, like, greenish, either green or yellow blue, which still makes green, but that's how they describe it. Green or yellow blue skin. I don't know what to tell you. Someone didn't learn.
Like yellow and a blue tinge, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Does that look a bit sickly?
Oh, it definitely would. Yeah, it was not, by all intents and purposes, like, you got to look at this thing. It was not a pretty fucking creature. Like, if we think that the Merrow men were ugly, I guarantee you the Kappas probably were.
Say it more. Like, I'm sorry. You could have made them better looking.
100%. Water spirits just do not fare well with looks, unless you're a mermaid.
Is it because they're constantly, like, in the water, don't they? It's so, like, they have, like, that weird bloaty
going. Yeah, that's what I don't want to mention that, but that's what I'm thinking, is that they were like, what does a dude look like when you pull him up out of the sea after 2 weeks?
I mean,
that's what will make our creatures.
That's what I was trying to get at, but at the same time, it's like, I thought we were being more positive this week.
I don't think we're capable of being positive. We're doing a lighthearted episode and we're making it dark because that's what we do. But okay, yes. So this is where the similarity is a little bit with the Merrow, is that they have a, like, flat bowl on the top of their head. So, like, the top part is flat, and then there'd be, like, they kind of described it as leafy, ornate, surrounding around it, so that it's like a bowl, but it's more of a dish. And they called it a Sara. And basically, if they left the lake, the river, well, they were river creatures. So if they left the river that they inhabited, they had to take water from that river with them and kept it in the Sahara. And if they like spilled any of it, they were fucked. Like they couldn't go back to the lake. Oh. They couldn't move. They were trapped where they were and they were severely weakened. So that's just pretty much what they looked like. Then I found something while I was researching the kappa. I found a couple of cool things out while I was researching the kappa that didn't have much to do with the kappa, but it was just interesting. And one of them I thought I'd mention for you, Lizzie, because this one is about otters.
Oh, my little sweet baby angels.
Yeah, you won't be saying that in a minute. So I'm going to attempt to butcher what otters is in Japanese. And I think it would be pronounced kawaiuso, I hope, because I don't know how else you pronounce an AU in Japanese, because I feel like they always break them. So kawaiuso, that's what we're going to say. And I'm sorry in advance. So they were seen as a type of kappa, but they're not like it. You know what I mean? They're like a subspecies, maybe. And in some regions, they say they would shapeshift into a beautiful woman, 18 or 19, as they do, and lure men away to eat and kill them.
Have to keep it legal.
Yeah, you know, exactly. You gotta make them above legal age. I didn't even think of that. That's so weird. I mean, it's good. It's good in a lot of ways, but like, it's also very weird. Yeah, then they transform into children and speak in cryptics to lure in their victims. And they would also transform into a monk and they just kind of stand there mm-hmm. chanting. And if somebody came and looked up at them, they just keep growing and growing and growing in height. I was like, imagine seeing that. Yeah. Like, whatever about being eaten by some 19-year-old girl that you thought was fit, but like seeing a monk grow in front of you must be the weirdest thing you could possibly experience.
So
that's just a little bit on their theories about otters. And it also, I found a quote which I think came from like 1573 when they mentioned the word kappa in the Muromachi period. So like a really old like legend of the kappa, and said, when an otter becomes sufficiently old, it will become a kappa.
Okay. So, yeah,
I thought that was really cool. So I had to write it down. So then there is a little thing about them with cucumbers. So when I originally heard the story, I first heard, like I was told to me by somebody else, that they were afraid of cucumbers. The more I looked into it, all I could find was that they were literally fucking obsessed with cucumbers. They were like, it was like their favorite food. And it was possibly because of their link to being water gods. So because cucumbers have such a high water content, it makes sense to offer something like that.
Cucumbers are disgusting.
Cucumbers are life, and I will absolutely end your
like the taste of nothing.
Shite. The first time I ate a cucumber, I actually had to run to the bathroom and get it.
No taste. They don't taste of anything. They taste like freshness.
Yeah,
they taste.
It's just like
so bad.
Like light and crispy.
So bad. Yeah.
You got that little...
It's like if you could chew water.
Oh my God.
Just getting like a little pack of mini cucumbers so that you get all that nice crunch and then the fresh water.
Even in a like, salad, you know, when they're like chopped up small and put into a salad, I can't eat it because I know straight away that there's a cucumber chopped
up
in it.
That is so sad for you. Like, I will literally cut slices of cucumber and just eat them. Like
I got a kebab the last day, like last week or something, and I couldn't eat it because there was cucumbers all like chopped up in it. And I'm not picky at all. I think.
Don't you eat mushrooms?
See, I like mushrooms. I just don't like cucumbers. I don't know why.
Mushrooms are Satan and cucumbers are life, and I don't understand.
Also, people who say honey are sweet, honey is sweet, are lying.
Yes, it is, Quiva. What are you talking about?
I kind of get this logic. It's that, like, I wouldn't exactly describe it as sweet, but I wouldn't describe it as, like, bitter or sour either. It's like honey has its own...
I think it's
not a sweetener. It's not a sweetener. Yeah, I wouldn't call it a sweetener.
You just don't like honey, though, either. Because remember the time you were, like, going skips over a dark piece of light, you're like, there's fucking honey in it. I can taste it.
Is that a thing, that there's some chemical that some people can taste that makes stuff taste real bitter?
I am not sure about that.
I think there is.
It's fine.
Yeah. Sorry to try to sidetrack you, but
it's fine. It's literally your job, and cucumbers set us off. It's apparently a trigger for us. Well, kappas fucking loved them, Quiva, okay?
Accepted.
Yeah. So, yes. And like, cucumber sushi is called kappa maki. So it's like named after the kappa. I love maki. Maki is my favorite type of sushi. I don't really like the rest, but maki is everything. Tuna maki, cucumber maki, and yellow radish maki.
Everything. Starving now.
Yeah, we're on lockdown and I can't even get sushi and I'm so upset now. Okay, back to the story. No time for crying. Yeah, so that's the thing with the cucumber. While I was researching that, I found out the weirdest thing, and that is that, Weevy, you will be traumatised. Mm. We have a National Cucumber Day.
Do we actually?
We actually do. It's June 14th and it started, I think it said, the 11th century with the English. They were like, cucumbers need more appreciation, so let's give it a day. And now June 14th is National
Cucumbers Cucumber need Day. Less appreciation.
They need more.
They should just be not grown ever.
Stop being spiteful.
Do you know what June 14th
is? Let the cucumbers have their day.
That might make you feel a bit better about cucumbers getting some recognition. What? June 14th is also, specifically in Japan, National Fried Chicken Day.
I mean, they're doing it right.
They really are. Fried chicken, particularly chicken wings, are something to be celebrated. Oh,
there's not a better than a breast of chicken from like a takeaway, like in a snack box. My God.
I'd always go for the legs. I'm a leg person. It's same with the wings. I love the drumsticks more than the wings.
Oh yeah, you can be a chicken drumstick.
Oh no, a thigh. Can't be. Thighs are way better.
Can we stop talking about
it? See, this is where I'm controversial and Lizzie hates me for it, but I go for the legs because I eat the cartilage and it's my favourite.
Oh, you're actually a sick little thing. Like, she will suck it out like... I like suck the bone marrow.
Ew, the bone marrow.
She'll take it to bed.
I do not suck the bone marrow.
I've seen you do that before.
I've seen you do that before.
And don't you dare not.
I eat cartilage.
You do, but I've seen you with
cartilage, not bone marrow.
So you eat the crunchy like bit that's on the top of
not the hard bit, because I can't, like, you can't chew that down into anything that's not hard. So I don't like that bit. But you know the bit that like joins the two knuckles. So it's just the really soft cartilage. I can't be the only one. And the same at the end of the leg. There's like, I don't know, where the ankle used to be, probably. There's like a little bit line of cartilage there as well. And it's fucking lovely. Just absorbs all the flavour.
I'm trying so hard not to.
I don't even know. Maybe I've never even noticed that.
Maybe not, but it's delightful.
No, because I guarantee you've seen it. Was like, that looks disgusting and inedible. And just never did it. So I was like, I'm going
don't
to give
blame
this a
me,
try.
Blame my mother. She did it, so I did it, and I still do it to this day. It's the same reason I drink my tea the way I do. Childhood habits. I don't know.
Everyone. Your tea?
So disappointing. It's milk and shit, no sugar. It's like 90% milk and then just like a dip of the tea bag.
Untrue. No. Awesome. You have to stir the tea bag for ages. It has to be strong tea with a load of milk. People always say to me, you take weak tea. I do not. I take milky tea.
It's how much is a lot of milk?
It's disgusting. Like.
It's comforting and delicious, and it's too much by anyone else's standards.
Oh, no.
That's just full flavoured milk then.
Yeah, pretty much. And it's lovely.
I can't.
I end up on my tea habits in the middle of a fucking folklore story.
Savannah, this needs to be
because
discussed.
It's disturbing and has
I'm
to be spoken
out
about.
Of you. Awful.
We're having a group intervention about that after this.
Dude,
just
I
so you know,
I can swig my tea because I'll also drink it black with sugar and lemon. Like, it just depends.
You're an animal.
Why?
I actually don't know how you don't see that. That's the worst thing
just
in the world.
Which part? The milky tea or the black tea?
The black tea, I can kind of get past, even though I don't like the thought of it.
I'd forgive the black and the lemon tea. It's just warm iced tea. Like, if you look at it like that way, do you know what I mean?
It's
like,
quite nice.
That I understand, but
it's because they don't really do milk in Poland, so I had to drink black tea with lemon and sugar, and it was actually nice.
They don't do
so,
milk.
No, not
really.
In
their teas, no. They drink like flavour teas and stuff rather than English
it's
tea.
The same. It's the same here in Germany. Like, they look at me so weird for putting milk in my tea.
Well, I would with the amount that you put in it, but...
Yeah, to be fair, you get those looks here. Never make new tea in my house because I won't be able to make
what
that.
What was the last fucking thing I meant? Can we get back on track?
No, yeah, you're on about now, Dave. Cumber day, and then it was fried chicken
day.
Fried
chicken. They were said to smell like fish, the kappa, and could swim like one. And according to some sources, their arms were connected to each other through the torso, so they could be you could slide them from side to side.
Oh!
Wait, what?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
So just like a really cheap, like, I don't know, what was the doll that used to do it back in the day? Like Betty Spaghetti, I think. Did she do it? One of them did it. One of them weird dolls. And like, you could just like pull the arms from side
to
side.
That was Betty Spaghetti.
It was, wasn't it? Yeah. You can literally like
make their right arm real short and then their left arm real long.
Yeah,
and then...
exactly.
So if they had to do like a mega punch, they'd like pull his arm in and then just like
they'd give some of the right arm to the left arm to punch extra.
Yeah, I would love to see that. Just someone like right pulling it all the way back and then just slingshot the kappa arm through their body.
Oh my God, what the fuck?
Okay. Yeah, they're super weird creatures, but it gets weird.
That doesn't
somehow.
Even sound physically possible.
I mean, it's...
Well, I mean, it's folklore, Queeva, so...
They're also...
I keep forgetting that.
Weird turtle children.
Yeah, they're real ugly.
Yeah. Oh, they're very bad.
Sure, that was mean. So, not to be dissing mythological creatures.
They kind of mostly just seem to be like tricksters and troublemakers. And they kind of really just had like two sides. Like, they could be really whatever or they could be really, really evil. So they're little shit. Like, they loved looking up women's kimonos and they'd like challenge people to sumo wrestling all the time. Like, they were really good wrestlers. So they challenged people to sumo wrestle. Like, all
why
the time.
Why does that seem like every lad in their 20s trying to start fighting?
I'll fight you for your shoes.
Fight me. You don't even know about fighting me. I'm the best fighter in all the lakes. But then, here is quite possibly my favourite weird fact that I discovered on this journey into the kappa. So, sorry. Oh my God.
No, you're lolling. So, you can't even say it.
How do I even, like, okay, they really liked human livers, okay? Mm-hmm. That was their favorite thing to eat. And to get to the human liver, they would basically capture people and drown them upside down and then just...
Downed it.
Yeah, just absolutely ram a fucking hand off the anus where there was a mythical...
I had a feeling that was going.
They had a mythical soul ball, which they describe at the mouth of the anus, which is just the most disgusting sentence. The mouth.
They not said the rim or something like that.
I'm not sure rim is better, but it's better than mouth, surely.
Opening or something.
Just at the edge, somewhere in the vicinity of where it comes to fruition. I don't know. But in the way of this was a mythical soul ball called a Shiri Kodama. So they would either, you know, just thunder fist up there and pull that out to get to the liver, or they would suck it out.
What's that song? Eat that booty like groceries.
You got it. Like, kappas would do really well in millennial society.
I mean,
why didn't they just cut their stomachs open? Why is going up the arse the only option? That's not even the easy direction. Like, the mouth would be easier.
So I had to look it up. Do you know why this is a thing? Why this is like part of the myth?
Okay.
It's because apparently when you drown, you're fucking anus prolapses. It distends.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Stop. I had to look it up. I was like, there's no way that's true. That cannot happen. The human body, it just doesn't. No, it does. So
I
when they were
the water
pulling
pressure.
Up people, yeah, it's exactly, I think that's exactly it.
You're pouring.
I mean, you're
the
dead.
Water pressure,
you're
like,
drowned.
Your muscles don't work anymore because obviously you're dead. So
yeah, I suppose it makes sense.
But like,
it's just a bit.
What's the explanation? Oh, it's obviously a water demon sticking their whole arm
exactly.
up there.
Exactly. Or just
like, you know what that of. Queen, do you remember that video? Do you remember?
Stop it!
That you showed
no,
me in your house that time?
I forgot about that now, Lizzie. Thanks a million.
Please. Mythical turtle monsters fisting is enough. We don't need reminders.
It was so much like moisturizing. Like, that's just not fun. Like.
I'm actually going to pass out or away, whichever.
Okay.
Oh my god. I'm such an ugly crier and laugher. This is like double fucking, I don't know.
You just like my brain flashes like trauma.
You're the worst
trauma.
People.
I'm so happy that
I
forgotten that it existed. The best part was send it to Savannah being like, haha, watch this, it's so funny.
I literally sent it on to Adam because I was just like, hey, watch this, because if my life was ruined, it's had to be like,
oh my
that.
God, like, I can still see it in HD in my brain. It's like burned into my fucking synapses.
So yeah, shock, horror. This meant certain death for the owner of the anus spirit orb when it would be sucked out. So they weren't sure why they took the Shiri Kodama. They thought it could have been a delicacy, like something to numb on, or it was just something that was in the way of the liver and they'd no interest in it at all, or it was taken as a sacrifice. To, do y'all need a minute?
No, I'm fine. Dawn, you're like trying to get the rest of the giggles out, and it's like a sneeze. You can still feel it in the back of your head. You're like, I need to get this out.
That's why I'm trying to just go.
You know
on.
When you're really trying not to laugh and like,
yeah, I'm
fucking,
centered.
Everyone's so, okay. You. You're like,
yeah. Or it could have been taken as a sacrifice to the Dragon King, Lord of all things underwater. So there's something you need to look up that I found on the way, and it is a print by our good friend Hakuzai.
Nice.
And it's called How to Fish for Kappa. And it's basically, it's like, okay. This dude and he's got like his arse hanging out over a river, and there's like a net above him. He's just smoking a fag, bare arse in it, and the cap is like coming up to just here. Gonna like get my little fingies in here. So yeah, that's how you fish for a kappa.
We got it from it.
Isn't it great? Yeah. Oh, Hakusai, my man. Yeah. So aside from that, they're also known for just drowning people and animals for various reasons, kidnapping children, and as I seem to have a theme of this, raping women and sometimes eating human flesh. Oh, apparently I'm not interested in anything unless there's some form of cannibalism or vampirism or abuse involved. Yeah. So there is then a story, I want to say by Lafcadio Hearn or Lafcadio Hearn. I don't know. Your first name is hard to pronounce. I'm sorry. But he wrote a book called Glimpses of Unfamiliar Japan. And so there's this little story in it about a kappa that I thought I'd take. It's not word for word, but it's pretty much it's the exact same story that's in the book. So yeah. It's a little village called Kawachimura. There was a little temple inside it called Kawaro no Miya. So it's like Kawaro was another word for kappa.
Okay.
And they have a preserved document said to be signed by the kappa.
Ooh.
So what happened was, in ancient times, the kappa dwelling in the Kawachi River used to take a lot of the villagers and domestic animals and, you know, just murder them. And one day a horse stopped to drink, and the kappa came up, was trying to take the horse, and whatever way he magnificently fucked it up, he got his head caught in like the underbelly of the horse in, you know, the harness and all of that shit.
Okay.
So the horse naturally freaked out, hoofed it out of there, and ran into the middle of an open field, taking the kappa with it. So the horse owner kind of immediately ran with all of the villagers and tied up the kappa, and as they gathered around it, the kappa bowed his head and begged for mercy. The villagers wanted to kill the demon immediately, but the horse owner said it was better to make sure it swore not to harm the peoples or animals of the Kawachimura ever again. So they wrote an oath, they prepared an oath and read it to the kappa, who said, "I can't write, but I'll dip my hand in ink and sign it that way." So he pressed his handprint into the document as his form of signing it, and the kappa was released, and no human or animal was harmed in Kawachimura ever again.
Ooh.
Apparently, if you go to that little temple in Kawachimura, then you can actually see the signed document. I've tried to find it online, but I, you know, it's probably a place where you can't take pictures or something like that. No one seems to have
it. Yeah, it's about to say.
So I'm not going to like deny its existence just because I can't find it on fucking Google, but
yeah,
I'd say it's there. It sounds cool.
Yeah, like you said, it probably is like no phones, no cameras allowed type thing.
Yeah, exactly. So then when it comes to defeating a kappa, should you ever be so worried as to find yourself facing one? So kappas were obsessed with human practices and politeness. So if you encountered a kappa and you make a deep bow, it will return the gesture. This will cause the water in its sara to be spilled, making it unable to move from the bowing position until the sara is refilled with water from the resident lake. So where it left.
That's so snaky.
Isn't it? It's like, how do you do? Ha ha!
So you see, if that falls out,
they're
they have to stay in that position until they find the lake that they've come from.
So, and like, they can't
that's
move,
so
they can't find their own lake. So basically it has to be refilled by a human or they die. So if a human refills the sara of a kappa, it must serve that person for all eternity.
Ooh.
So
I can see why you trick them.
So you're kind of like,
rude-like.
Do I let it die or do I make it my slave forever? Because I would definitely want little kappa servant. I'd be nice to him. I'd be nice, but I want a kappa servant.
I mean, liberation for the kappas.
Exactly.
Yeah, if you pay them and stuff.
We can start like a splinter group like Hermione did for the house elves, except we won't call it like...
Yeah.
What was spew. It called? It was like puke. Spew.
Spew.
That was it. Thank you. Yeah, we won't call it something sick like that. We'll go for something more anus-y.
Oh yeah, you have to have it like rectile.
Rectile?
That's not a word, but now
we're
it is.
We're now the rectilians. Changing the name of the podcast.
Oh, Christ.
Okay. Yes. Similarly, if a kappa's arms are removed, then it has to share knowledge or do favors for its return. So if you just like... What? My arms now.
I don't even want to say arms.
No, weirdly, no one violates the kappas the other way around. The kappa just goes for us. Yeah, you can also do like a test of skill. So you can challenge it to a shogi or a sumo wrestle. And that can be your ticket out. Again, the similarities with my story and yours. They were also afraid they didn't like iron, sesame or ginger. So iron is another like running theme. Some believe that eating or carrying a cucumber would stop a kappa attack when swimming. Others believed it was a surefire way of getting attacked. Now, I'm thinking if they look at a cucumber is that fucking much, you're probably not going to want to have a cucumber on you when you're...
Yeah, I'm literally thinking, you know, like serious unfortunate events when your one eats the banana.
When she eats the banana. Yes, and all the weirdest leech things come. That scene freaked me out so much as a child.
Yeah, that was scary.
Yeah. So they weren't all evil, apart from, you know, the obviously terrible things that they did. But they were also believed to be very helpful to humans once they were befriended, and would help farmers irrigate their land, would bring fresh fish to some families, which was seen as a mark of good fortune to those that receive it, and were thought to be highly knowledgeable about medicine. Ooh. Which legends saying that they taught humans how to set bones.
Ooh, that's really interesting.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting. Like, most folklore, you never see something like that about them actually teaching something to humans, like, especially yeah. something like bone set.
Usually you can't stand them because we ruin everything.
Exactly. Yeah, you could actually definitely get like proper buddies with a kappa if he didn't, you know, try to steal your anus ball.
Yeah, these people seem to teach them, like, treat them really badly, and then they're like, why is he being mean to me? And I'm like, well, you were mean first.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Like, okay, some of them are assholes for, like, no reason, straight up. But, like, a lot of them are just, like, reacting mm-hmm. to people being dicks.
So there's, a whole bunch of words that I'm going to struggle to pronounce. But a Sōjenji Buddhist temple in Asakusa district in Tokyo was built to appease the kappa and has a mummified kappa arm there since 1818. So if you go up, there's, like, a cucumber offering altar. And if you walk just past that, there's an actual mummified kappa arm. That's really cool.
That's
and I've seen the picture.
Cool.
The picture is on Google and it's cool.
Oh, I mean,
yeah. So those are my friendly little green buddies from Japan that I could not wait to tell you guys about
today,
because I knew you'd enjoy them.
They are so cool.
Aren't they? And they are the same as yours. There's one in the Crimes of Grindelwald. You don't see him for long. He's there for literally like 2 seconds when you're heading towards Nagini in the cage.
Oh, yeah.
There's just a kappa in a bath just kind of poured water on himself, and I freaked out when I saw him in the cinema. I was like, it's a kappa. So excited.
That's so cool.
I love the kappa.
I really like that. That was fun. We had such a good laugh at that one. My God. My sides were splitting.
My voice is all like, I feel like I've been crying. I kind of like,
oh no.
Full on, like someone's poked me in the eyes. That was fast.
I don't know if I'll ever find one as fun as that one ever again.
No, that was a treat. Oh. I feel like this has been great. Like, we needed this because we're having a great
exactly.
time.
As dark as the story may have gotten from us, literally just being dark people, it's still a very lighthearted fun time.
It was left open to suggestion.
Yes, it was.
And I just happened to go there.
So?
Right, Quila, what have you got?
Well, I was originally going to do with Kelpies. So they're like a shape-shifting Scottish water horse spirit. Because they look real cool because they're all like black horses. And I was like, oh my God. But then when I was researching, I came across an African water spirit deity kind of. She's kind of both. Mami Wata. So Mami Water. She's found in West, Central and Southern Africa and in, you know, all the communities that would have descended from Africans in like the Americas. So North and South America and all the little islands and stuff, blah, blah. She's usually female, but sometimes you can, like, she presents herself as male as well.
That's cool.
They're not sure where her name came from, but they think that it's like Pidgin English of Mother Water. But as well, they think that she might have come from Egyptian and Mesopotamian linguistics. In Egyptian, Mami or Mama means truth and Wati or water for ocean water. So there's two possibilities there.
Informative.
Yeah.
That's really nice.
Yeah, it's cool. The people who like would have worshipped her kind of understood her to be like a foreign spirit, so that she came from like other lands, if you know what I mean.
Right.
Which, you know, kind of showed African communities kind of understanding other worlds, as in like other spirit realms and stuff like that.
Okay.
So they had those kind of ideas because she was thought to live in either underwater or in another realm or both. So I'm presuming it meant like underwater in another realm.
Yeah.
So
I get what you're saying.
She's applied to like a few deities across like other African cultures. Like, you kind of see her in like different ones that she's kind of mashed in with other ones, you know, that she kind of takes on different meanings across different cultures and tribes and stuff. But she's usually kind of seen as being a woman in most like people, you know, drawings and statues and stuff. People who have seen her have described her as like a mermaid type figure. She's like a woman's upper body. She's mostly like naked with like the lower half of like a fish or a mermaid or a serpent, which I thought was really cool.
Serpent's making.
Yeah, imagine like a snake lower body. Like,
I'd love that.
Yeah.
Be like really like, you know.
And you'd be able to transport so fast.
Yeah, that's what I thought as well. You know that picture of like the snake with the arms photoshopped on? That's what I kind of imagined. But she sometimes like presented as human as well, presumably, you know, when she's like trying to trick people into doing things. Okay. Her hair ranged from between being straight curly to kinky black and combed back straight. I don't know why that's important, but it was just mentioned, so I said I'd say it.
Right.
She's found in a lot of like the southeastern Nigerian tribes. They really liked her in those kind of areas, in like in places like that. In all the like statues and stuff, she often was seen carrying like expensive things like combs and mirrors and, you know, expensive items. And the stories, they kind of come into play in the stories because she, if she was ever seen, she tended to be sitting beside, you know, a river or like the sea.
Mm.
And if someone came along, she'd dive into the water. Usually a man would come along and he'd pick up the stuff that she'd left behind and she'd come back looking for her shit. So when she found the man who had taken her stuff, she'd seduce him or try to seduce him. And if, you know, things happened and they slept together, she would demand that he'd remain faithful to her, that he wouldn't sleep with anyone else, only her for the rest of his life. If he agreed to that, you know, good things happened to him. You know, he had like family were wealthy and good things started to happen to him. You know, good things happened if you were faithful to her. And if not, shit went sideways. Like, lost all her money. Shit went bad for your family. Like, future generations, everything. So it was like...
So is this just a few...
Like, what are you mean?
Kind of. Like, she was seen as being, like... She was seen as a water spirit and a deity. So people actually worshipped her. Like, there's priests and stuff dedicated to her.
Right.
There was a guy actually, like... I don't know what the word is. There was a ceremony, anyways, to make him, like, the chief head of Mammy Water in... February this year, just gone.
Oh, cool.
Interesting.
Yeah, so it's like, it's still going, like February 15th.
Fair play.
At 9 a.m. Yeah, Supreme Chief of Mammy Water. It goes to show how big of a deal it is because it was broadcast, the whole ceremony was broadcasted live on TV.
That's right.
Like,
wow.
In loads of places. Yeah, she was always like a... She was like a mermaid kind of lady, but she also was like a snake charmer. She's often seen having a snake around her.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, she used to carry a snake around with her a lot of the time. She liked her followers. Like, she wanted things to go well for them. So she used to kidnap people.
Like, that started off so positive. It's like, yeah, she kidnapped
people. She wanted to help people, so she kidnapped
them. She used
them.
To kidnap people, and but she'd send them back, some of them. And the people who came back would come back with, like, dry clothes on, as if they'd never been underwater. And they had, like, a new spiritual understanding that they just seemed to know.
Okay, so she'd take them and like pass on teachings and then like send them back.
There was obviously some people kind of weren't sent back, but she was one of the people who was. Some of the people who were sent back would come back in dry clothes. They'd have like really, you know, intense spiritual understanding, and they tended to get richer, more attractive, and were more like easygoing. They'd be more chill. Okay. So like, to be honest, all around
great
gal. Successful, just happy days.
Pay me a visit. I'll stay faithful to her. I don't mind.
Oh my God, I wish.
We're probably not worthy of it though. Like, let's not like trick ourselves.
No, basically, like, definitely be the people, like, that are just never sent back. We just
stay there.
Disappear.
The opposite of your man in the house with like the perfectly pure soul. So she wanted to take him. They'd look at doors and just be like,
no.
What is wrong
with
you?
Oh my God, oh my God. Ugh.
Dirty. Give me my gloves.
She's like washing her hands. She has loads of followers. Like, people, mainly when she, like, in her worship, when people are worshipping her, it's like a lot about dancing and, you know, really intense dancing. So they'll play like the African guitars.
Wonderful.
And
I love
harmonicas
that.
Are usually what they use instrumentally.
They always sound so cool.
Yeah, doesn't it? But the dancers will actually dance so hard that they'll go into like a trance. They'll get that wrecked.
Ooh.
Yeah. So they'll be that wrecked that they'll go into like a trance, and then she'll visit, I presume, one of the group, like a chosen person, and she'll speak to them one-on-one.
Okay.
Yeah. So she expects offerings and stuff like that. She loves like expensive things and like smelly things like soaps and stuff. So they always, you know, have leave out offerings and stuff like that. So like, there's a lot of positive things to her, but then as well, she seems to be blamed for a lot of like misfortune. Like if you get sick or, you know, something like that, like anything that's to do with the sea that's negative, she's blamed for. In Cameroon, she's blamed for, there's a strong undertow in the sea and she's blamed for that, like that it kills people and that's her doing it. Yeah, she seems to be very positive, but also very negative.
I feel like that's the way with deities though. Like, if stuff isn't going right for people, that they just turn and like try to put blame on that.
Yeah,
but then when things are going well, like, they're full of praise.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's really weird. Like, if someone comes down with like a really long lasting, like incurable disease, she tends to be blamed for it.
It's
like apparently evidence that she's taken an interest in the person, and that only she can cure them.
So she takes an interest in them and just makes them have horrible diseases.
Yeah, and then that she's the only one who can cure them.
Is she getting money off them though? Because then that's the only way it would make sense.
I don't.
It's like, oh yeah, you pay me.
I presume there must be some way of asking her to. She seems very like flip-floppy that she doesn't see. This is all different cultures, so different cultures have all different views of her.
Have y'all seen Chicago?
Yes.
No.
You know, Mama, the prison warden.
Yes.
I feel like she's either based on her or this is just like
she's very
that,
widespread.
You know,
like she's
the
in
spirit the... is based on the character from the movie.
She definitely
the other way.
Could be.
It's, trust me, there's a song and it's like, you be good to mama and she'll be good to you. And this is all I'm thinking the whole time you're talking about this. It's so like perfect.
That's a great film. Yeah, I need to watch that actually.
I'll play.
It's one of those ones that like everyone should see, but I just never have.
Oh, Quiva, you'll love it. You will love it. I promise you.
Movie night once this all ends.
Watch party. Yes, loving it. Let's
ooh.
Do it.
Ooh, we could do a watch party actually. That'd be cool. But
yeah, you can do it on Netflix. I
don't know if it's on Netflix, but we'll find out.
Yeah, we should look into it.
Anyway, sorry.
Okay, so she's been blamed for shit. Like in Nigeria, she's blamed for anything ranging from like headaches to sterility, like everything.
How can you blame that on a headache?
Honestly,
like, you look into a light and you get a headache. Like,
just take a paracetamol and shut
A load of women, like women who don't have kids and want to have them, will often call upon her, you know, to help her. But if they do end up having a child after they've called on her, that puts distance between her and them, because she apparently is like has no kids. I don't know if that's like if she's infertile or she's chosen not to. But them having kids actually separates them from her. So it lessens their likelihood of becoming wealthy or staying attractive.
So you can be like hot and rich or you can have crotch goblins. I know what I'm choosing.
Crotch goblin.
I don't know why you'd pray. Like, I don't know why you'd ask her if that's... This is all from Wikipedia, by the way. So, like, if there's other accounts and if that's not, like, 100% true, if there's a different, like, you know, this is what Wikipedia told me.
Yeah.
And
I'm sure people will tell us if we're
it
wrong.
It sounds right, though. It sounds...
I'm very sure I will be corrected.
It sounds like any people versus their God relationship so far, so...
Yeah, she's just very, like, two-sided, we'll say. I don't want to say two-faced because she doesn't seem like she fakes anything. I feel like she's very, like, black and white about things, but...
Yeah.
She's quite strange.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, yes.
Like, she has loads of priests and stuff in Africa, America, and in the Caribbean that are, like, specifically born and initiated to her.
Oh.
That they're actually specifically born and raised and initiated to being a priest for her, which... Oh. I thought it was really cool.
That is, it's really interesting. You know?
Like, holy
yeah,
shit.
Like, yeah, she seems like she just is very popular. She was also, she was brought to America, obviously, when slaves were taken. Right. And she's first mentioned in the 1740s in Dutch Guiana, I don't know how to say it, in an anonymous colonist journal. And he basically said, there's a bit of a pretty long quote, but he basically says that the slaves who worked in like swamps and stuff, because she was a water-based spirit, that they would either truthfully, he wasn't sure, or truthfully, or like if they didn't feel like going to work, they would pretend to have seen and heard an apparition or ghost, which they called Water Mama. The ghost would have ordered them not to work on such or such a day, but to spend it as a holy day for offering the blood of a white hen, to sprinkle this or that at the waterside and more of that monkey business, adding Jesus. In such cases if they do not obey this order, shortly Water Mama will make their child or husband, etc., die or harm them otherwise. So people apparently were seeing her in colonies that the Dutch people had in Guyana, that the slaves used to either see her or pretend to see her, so they, you know... They would have been told apparently by her not to work on this day, or things are going to happen badly to your family. Like things are going to go sideways, people are going to be hurt, or they're going to die, or you know, they'll drown.
Did it work? And
apparently, that they used to get their days off if they like because they would be that for afraid to work.
Huh.
Yeah,
wow.
I presume like some people obviously
are
wouldn't
they
believe
like, that's the one hiding like a horrible truth.
Yeah.
As in, like. They're like, oh yeah, we let them have the day off when they more than likely fucking didn't because they're all pieces
of
shit.
Yeah, they probably didn't, to be
honest. And treated them so bad.
Like, I don't know what they would have let them, like, would they have let them have a day off? Like, I can't imagine it.
I doubt it.
Yeah.
I really doubt it.
It's not really mentioned whether or not, but it's just more like...
I know this is a more suspicious time, but, like, can you imagine going to your employer in the morning and be like, ah, here, Dave... I can't work today because there's this spirit. And she was like, yo, if you go to work, I'm going to kill your family. Like,
yeah, like how the fuck, how would you even explain
imagine
that?
Imagine me going to like one of my old jobs in Ireland and just be like, here, I can't work. My ling is threatening to kill my cat. Like, I'm going to have to stay at home today. Anyway.
Yeah. The Native Americans actually, when they found out about her off the slaves, they actually merged her with their own spirits. And they started kind of worshipping her.
Ooh.
Yeah. In Haiti, they have a voodoo loa. So like a loa is a spirit called a siren, who represents Mami Wata. She is a siren. actually, in the one in Haiti. So she calls people to her and then drowns them. Well, she's able to. So, like, I'm presuming she probably doesn't kill everyone who comes to her, but she can entice people to her and drown them as soon as they come.
Yeah.
She's half fish, half human, or sometimes just like a full whale.
What, a full whale?
Yeah, sometimes just a whale.
That is so cool.
So sometimes she can be like a mermaid, or sometimes...
So it's like you can take out like one victim, or if you need to take out like a whole battalion, you're just like, boom, whale form.
Gone.
That is deadly.
Amazing.
She's often shown looking at herself in a mirror, same as Mami Wata. She is often seen with a mirror looking at herself just to kind of show that she is beautiful. It's kind of just a symbol of her beauty, basically. Mm-hmm. And she's actually the one in Haiti, Lasserin. She's often associated with queer relationships between black women, which I thought was really cool.
So cool.
I don't want to say patron saint, but the patron saint nearly of...
lesbians.
Well, queer relationships between black women specifically, yeah, which I thought was interesting. In Trinidad and Tobago, they have a Mamandlo, and she's a guardian of nature, and she punishes hunters and woodcutters who go like ape and kill and cut down everything.
If I was a spirit, I would be
People, you know, going out and hunting and shit like that they shouldn't be doing, or cutting down too many trees, she goes after them and she gives them a taste of their own medicine.
Good.
And she is going out with this man called Papa Boyce, and he's a nature spirit. So they're kind of like couple goals, you know, power couple. Going around teaching lessons to people who are not very environmentally friendly. And people have like suggestions as to why she became... or where she came from, like why she looks like how she looks like. And suggestions are that she's based on the West African manatee.
So I thought she was meant to be beautiful.
Yeah, but you know as well, remember how people were saying that mermaids originally came from sailors?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Because they were like seals sitting on rocks and they hallucinated. Okay, yeah.
And the manatee, the West African manatee, is also called Mami Wata. Whether or not they just call them that because she actually came from there. But then there was other suggestions that the whole mermaid image of like her being half human, half fish came from the Europeans, like the sailors coming over having mermaids on the bows of their ships. And obviously the sailors had stories of seeing these women, like these mermaids.
And they use that as some like sort of protection thing, like if they had one of them on the front of their boat, like they won't be seen by them and like taken and drowned. I feel like there was a reason why.
It was like supposed to be like a warning. It was supposed to be like we have one of yours, you know, we'll take another. Sort of thing.
No, but I feel like it is right. It's in my head.
It works
for
crows. Like if you have problem with the crows, like if you have a farm and you have a problem with crows attacking your like lambs or eating the feed, a lot of farmers will shoot a crow and kill it and hang it, or even just trap it in a cage and leave it by what you don't want other crows coming to. And it'll actually keep
quiet
because they're like, hey, that's a crow dead. It's not good there.
Like crows are famous for like having really good memories and taking revenge.
Yeah, well, they're wicked smart.
Is that not kind of going to bring a bit of the next time the farmer goes out in the field, the crows are just going to peck him to death? Like,
I suppose they more remember that one of them just was dead.
Interesting.
Yeah. And another reason that they were saying that they think that the reason that she's associated with bringing people wealth is because there was Liberian traders traveling up and down the West Coast, and they presented as being very rich and wealthy. And they actually would have spoken about her a lot. They think that that's why she was seen as someone who brought wealth to people.
Oh,
so there's a load of like little like stories, you know, how she was kind of catching men and then saying, you either be faithful to me and I'll make you rich, or if you don't want to be faithful to me, shit's going to go down and you're going to have the worst life.
Right. I had a question about that. Was there ever a thing where like a dude was like, oh sure, I'll be faithful to you, you know, like dudes do.
And then
went off and just rode all around him, and then she found out. Was there any stories with that?
There was no stories of it being confirmed that she'd ever caught anyone cheating on her, but I presume that she would find out. Until she found out that they'd been cheating on her, she'd be nice to them, and then once she found out, then that's when stuff would go wrong. Like even if she found a lad who, you know, the lads that were picking up her stuff that she left behind, if she went there and tried to sue them, they rejected her. It didn't go well for them either. She was like, fine, fuck you, everything's gonna go wrong for you, like your family, ill fortune, sick, and have a terrible life,
dishonor on you.
Like she used to go around and sit beside, you know, lakes and wait for people to walk past. She'd get spooked and leave her stuff. And I feel like her leaving her stuff behind was intentional because she knew that the lads.
Definitely. And if she was that beautiful, like she probably didn't get rejected all that often. So even probably just the act of getting rejected was like,
she probably loved it.
Curse somebody.
She nearly behoved, I'd say that.
I'd say so.
So yeah, that's kind of pretty much it. Like I just found her very interesting because there's a lot of different cultures who have her. Like she's in multiple different tribes. Mm. She's in America.
That's nice.
You know, anywhere.
It's cool, yeah. It is like she kind of traveled around with her people, and that's a really cool touch to the story.
That's really
the Native Americans adopted her and added, like, merged her with her own water spirits, which I thought was really interesting.
That is interesting.
It wasn't just the African cultures, it was kind of everyone. Everyone liked her.
And well respected as well.
Yeah, like, and it's, but she's like obviously still, like, very prominent today. Like, she was, you know, to have a high prince appointed the supreme chief of her, like, 2 months ago, you know, and for it to be broadcasted on.
And if people are being reared to, like, be her support, do you know, like you said, like, people were born specifically and brought up to, like, praise her, like, it's cool.
Be her priests.
There's a man, we were born in the wrong. Anyone up for a trip to Africa? Because I think I would like to do that. We're dance so hard, you see, mommy, water.
Yeah, imagine how wrecked you'd have to be.
Honestly.
To hallucinate, like, whether or not they're seeing her, I don't know. So either hallucinate so bad that you see something that doesn't exist, or hallucinate so bad that something's actually able to possess you.
And I feel like that wouldn't take long for me, because, you know, I'm small and unfit and asthmatic. So, like, 5 minutes exactly.
Oh my god, no, like 10 minutes back. Like, too.
She hears. Can't breathe.
Yeah. She looks real cool as well. Like, you see her in all these pictures, and she has, like, she's always walking around with snakes and stuff.
She's like the second search that comes up when you type her in on Google. Oh, she looks amazing.
Yeah, I thought she was really cool.
I may actually have a look.
Oh.
Yeah, doesn't she?
Oh, wait, let me see.
I found most of my stuff, like, information-wise, on Wikipedia under her page, or I found her on africa.si.edu.
Wow.
Yeah, she's real cool.
Oh, she's stunning.
She's really cool. No, that was a great story. Yeah, she's gorgeous.
No.
I wouldn't reject her.
She's gorgeous. That was really good.
Yeah, you're better off not rejecting her.
Yeah, you'd probably regret it fairly fucking soon.
Yeah. Like I said, I'll be faithful. I need money. Thank you.
Yeah, I wanted to do something from, like, a different culture, you know.
That was class. So we have...
That was really class.
I hope I didn't fuck it up too badly.
Like, Irish mermaids, an African mermaid serpent princess deity. God.
Siren.
Yeah, kind of. Siren.
She's almost a siren. I'd nearly call her a siren, but, like, a water spirit / deity. Like, she worshipped, but that doesn't mean... Mm. Like, she might just be a water spirit who is worshipped as... You know, the way, like, Egyptians worship cats and... shit, like,
oh yeah,
do you know,
yeah, but they were actually seen as gods. They were descendants of gods.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That so she was like
so
a deity.
She still would have been worshipped as a deity, a goddess, I guess. Yeah, that's cool.
That was really
and
cool.
Then I'm just out here with my rapey fucking water turtles.
Yours was best. I still have a pain in my head from laughing.
Was so
can I
funny.
Before we start wrapping up the show? Can I make a special request that we just name the show fucking mythical anus spirit ball, mythical anus ball? Just
absolutely.
Oh, it took me so long to even forget
that is not
what I was trying to do. I was still laughing on the inside, honestly. Trying not to laugh.
Okay, so that was our show for this week. We hope you found it a lot more lighthearted than last week's episode. Next week, I think we're going to be back to the dark stuff again. I think we agreed we're going to be doing a little bit of cult discussion next week's episode. So we hope you guys tune back in next week for that. It'll probably be a long one again, longer than this one, but we're going to make sure it's full of good information to, you know, make excuses for the length that we go to when we talk.
At the end of every episode, we've decided that we're going to speak about different charities, just promote ones that maybe apply to what we've been talking about or something that's going on, like currently, like current events. So Lizzie was looking at one to do with current events, we'll say.
Yeah. So basically, just, we know we're all kind of going through a shit time at the moment with the whole coronavirus thing. And it's basically just from the World Health Organization that help deploy funds throughout the world. So that can go towards like PPE masks, just helping support people. So if you actually go onto the World Health Organization onto their page, it's one of the very first tabs. This is coronavirus relief, and you can donate as much as you like. It can be $1, €1, £1. It can be as much or as little as you like, but mainly just to take from it to make sure you look after yourself and you look after your neighbours and just stay safe.
And like everything else, we'll add the links to that and all of the information on the things that we talked about today, even though a bulk of it came from Wikipedia, and we thank you, Wikipedia, but we will add all of
God
the links.
God bless you.
Yeah, we'll put all our links to the Wikipedia pages, and we'll put the links to that charity on our social medias. And again, as always, you can just hit us up at our email. It's c.e.s.poolpod@gmail.com. So hit us up. Give us whatever you want. You want to give us stories to do, we'll do your stories. You want to tell us we suck, we know. it's fine. You want to ask us questions about what we covered.
The reminder.
You want to ask questions about the stuff that we covered? Go ahead. We're down to hear from everyone. We've got nothing better to do right now. So hit us up. Let us know. Once again, we thank you for being here. This has been us, Cesspool, for another week. Just want to remind everyone to always be a hypocrite.
Don't forget to tense your ankles.
And join our cult.
Bye.